Blog Talk Radio.
And now a brief message from our sponsor. Reality Books presents Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. The author is Marshall Washington Cabinus Abui, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, a message that will change America. Buy your copy today. $20 is all it costs, plus $5 postage and handling. To order your copy of the book written by the great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, send a text message. Include your full name and how many books you would like to purchase. Send to area code 706-399-5006. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A message that will change America. Send your text message, including your full name and how many books you would like to purchase, to area code 706-399-5006. From our sponsor, Reality Books, publisher of Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. A short extract from the book, Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. God will not change the condition of a people until they change what is in themselves. In other words, until they change their way of thinking. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution is designed to help African Americans and other ethnicities change their way of thinking. This is a book that will change America, and it is on sale for only $20 plus $5 postage and handling. You can order your book now by sending a text message to area code 706-399-5006. Please put your name and the number of books that you would like to order, and you will be contacted to arrange payment information so that the book can be mailed to you immediately. So please go ahead and don't hesitate. Order your copy today. Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution, published by Reality Books. The author of this book is the great-grandson, the senior great-grandson of Booker T. Washington, the founder of the famous Tuskegee Institute in Alabama, now known as Tuskegee University. The great-grandson of Booker T. Washington is inviting you to order his book. Send a text to area code 706-399-5006. The book is only $20 plus $5 postage and handling. Order your copy today. Thank you. Thank you.
Well, good evening, everyone, and welcome again to Booker T. Washington African American Family Room Forum on this first weekend of February 2022, and the word is out. The groundhog saw his shadow, and that means we've got six more weeks of winter time, but we are starting to get a little bit of warm weather here in Augusta, Georgia, even though we had snow 2 weeks ago, but the buds are beginning to pop out on trees. I'm beginning to see some signs that springtime is on the way. I know that's not true all over the country. I know that there's been some harsh weather conditions throughout America, up north. Millions of people have been without power, and I pray that power will be restored and that their situation will get much better very soon. My heart goes out to all of those that are trying to find warmth in some kind of shelter somewhere. So let us always keep the misfortunate people in our hearts and in our prayers. But welcome, everyone, to the program tonight, to our weekly show. And before we go any further, I want to ask my co-host, Ms. Bianchi. First of all, I want to welcome Ms. Bianchi tonight and ask Ms. Bianchi for a radio check. Bianchi, are you able to hear me tonight?
Well, you sound like Chris Fried Catfish, man.
Oh, man, what a compliment. Well, great. Well, thank you so much. I want to welcome everyone else. I see that Brother Warren has joined us, and also I see that Sheikh John Kennebay is with us, and Minister Jesus Muhammad Ali. And so we hope that others will join us, and at this time, let me just go ahead and do a call out for those that are listening via the Internet. I want to welcome you all who are listening via the Internet that did not dial in to be an active participant in the program. And I know there are quite a few of you out there because I've been able to see the stats on a weekly basis. And I know that there are many more people that just listen than those that are on the panel. But we invite everyone that listens via the Internet to actually participate actively in our discussion. So if you would like to do that, just call the number. I'm going to give you this number right now, 657-383-0671. And I'm going to try to remember in a few minutes to repeat it so that those who have to go get something with which to write the number down will have time to go and find a pen or some writing utensil to write the number down. But it's 657-383-0671. Got a real good compliment from a long-time listener who's been on the show a couple of times and has actually participated in the discussion, but she mostly just likes to listen. But she sent me a text message after the show last week. She was very pleased with the way the show went, very, very happy with the tone of the conversation. And I like that because one of the things that I've always looked forward to is this show and hearing our discussion and knowing that even though we may have divergent opinions, that we can agree without disagree without being disagreeable. And I like to hear the different opinions, even though we may not always be on the, quote, same page, unquote. But still, if we disagree with the intention of being very civil and kind to each other as we express our opinions, that makes for a good program. So we look forward to that tonight. And so usually I don't choose the topic, even though I might introduce one, but this time I did pick a topic, but we don't have to stay on that topic. Trust me, there may be other things that you may want to talk about, and you may want to not talk about this topic. And that's fine because we'll respect that and we'll shift gears and talk about whatever is on your mind. But I will begin by saying what's on my mind because something happened. I've been discussing it with one of our panelists throughout the week And I want to welcome Minister Jesus Muhammad Ali, as well as Brother Warren and Sheikh Don Kennebay, and again, Mr. Pianchi, Brother Pianchi. But here's the thing that I want to begin by talking about, and this is a question, throwing it out there for discussion. Should Whoopi Goldberg, and most of us should be familiar with the famous comedian and talk show hostess and actress, Whoopi Goldberg, African-American lady that's very famous and very, very smart, very, very, very good person, I believe. She's a good, what I consider to be representative of the culture of open intellectual dialogue. And that's why I think she makes a great hostess, co-host or host for the show, The View. So the question is, should Whoopi Goldberg have been punished? And when I put this on the marquee, I put punished in quotation marks, and I'll explain why in just a second. But should she have been punished, namely suspended, for 2 weeks from being on the show, on The View, for making a historically inaccurate statement? A historically inaccurate statement. Should she have been suspended for making a historically inaccurate statement during a discussion on The View talk show last week? Now, for those of you that may not be familiar with what happened, I'm not going to go into a lot of detail because I'm anxious to hear the opinions of the panelists. And for those who had to go get something to write the number down with, the number again is 657-383-0671. So I do encourage you all to call in if you just dialed in on the internet. But should she have been suspended for 2 weeks for making a historically inaccurate statement during a discussion on The View talk show last week? Now, let me explain what happened. The Holocaust is always a big issue, and it's always an issue that's fraught with a lot of what I would say sensitive nerve take of points. I mean, there's some people that say the Holocaust is a fiction that never even happened, because we know historically that's not true. But anyway, there's the comic book, but it's not a funny book. It's a very serious book. Somebody has some noise in the background, so if you're not talking, could you mute your phone so that noise won't be heard throughout the world? Thank you. So this book is called Maus, M-A-U-S. And I believe that the author of the book was on the show that I saw the other night. His name is Spielberg. But anyway, this book, it depicts conditions in a ghetto when Nazism was at its height, a Jewish ghetto. And I'm not going to tell you all the details because I read the book about 20 years ago. And I didn't pick it up since this controversy arose. But I remember very clearly that these Jewish people were depicted as mice. And then you had the cats, which were the people like the SS troops and also the collaborators. But the thing about it is this discussion was going on about this book and about the Holocaust, and Whoopi Goldberg said that the Holocaust was not about race as black versus white, but it was about man's inhumanity to man. And she was corrected by one of the members of the View panel. And it was explained to her that, yes, it was about race, because Hitler saw the Jews as an inferior race, but he not only saw the Jews as an inferior race, he saw black people as an inferior race, he saw all the Slavic people, the Romanians and others, you know, from non-Aryan stock as inferior. So it was about race, but it wasn't about race the way that Whoopi Goldberg was conditioned to think about race. Her experience as an African-American woman was racist back in her childhood and coming up through the years, and still today was about the African-American people being oppressed by the Caucasian people. She did not realize that that issue was bigger than that, but she did have the sensitivity to say that it was about some human beings being treating other people inhumanly, and that was true. But it caused a big firestorm, and still going on. So the president of ABC News, and understand that Rupert Goldberg has been with the show almost since its beginning. Since 2007, I believe. Long time. And she's withstood a lot of controversies that have occurred on that show. But this is a show where people talk about things and they don't always agree. Sometimes they correct each other because sometimes their information is not accurate. In this case, Whoopi's information was not accurate. But instead of her just being corrected and that being the end of it, the president, who I believe is Jewish herself, I'm not sure about that, but the president is Kim Godwin, and she said that the comments were wrong and hurtful. Well, they certainly were wrong because they were historically inaccurate, and I guess they were hurtful to the Jewish people. But Whoopi was not intending to hurt anybody. She just made a statement that was not correct. This happens. So God would say, words matter, and we must be cognizant of the impact our words have. So that, to me, indicates that the whole atmosphere of open discussion on The View is subject now to be sensitive and scrutinized, so that nobody's feelings are going to get hurt, especially certain ethnic groups. But she said that while Whoopi has apologized, I've asked her to take time to reflect and learn about the impact of her comments. The entire ABC News organization stands in solidarity with our Jewish colleagues, friends, family, and communities. And then she went on another talk show the next day, and she expanded on the Late Show with Stephen Colbert, where she attempted to explain the rationale for her comments, but apparently that wasn't satisfactory to some people, including Godwin. And so now the word is out. She's thinking about, I don't think she's announced a decision, but she's thinking about leaving the show. And I'm saying to myself, well, she can well afford to leave the show. The latest works network for $60 million, that she could live very well just off the interest of her investments of that kind of money. But she's a very important presence on the show, and I hope she stays on the show. I'll save that towards the end. But we'll ask our co-host to begin with the conversation opening. What do you think, Mr. Bianchi?
Well, I never watched the show, and I never cared much for Whoopi Goldberg. Going back to when she used to do those skits called My Pretty Blonde Hair, remember that?
No, I don't even remember back in those days. I just remember when she started playing
that role. She started a skit She had came out with blonde hair on, and she's making remarks about how pretty it was, and so on, so on, so on, changing her identity. But and I think in this recent thing, the thing that she said was that Nazis and whites were the same. Well, that there in itself is racist. But like I say, I don't watch the movie, watch the show, and I've heard her make some more other political comments that I didn't care much for. And that's the way it is with her. So let's see what happens. Will she be able to use her privilege to not be? Well, she says she's gonna leave, so maybe that's the best thing for her to do. Like you say, she has enough capacity where she can do that. So let's see what happens. Is Mr. Warren on the, on tonight?
Yes, yes, he's on. He's on. Yeah.
Oh, I'm glad he's here. Because I'm thinking about going to Tony's this July or two, and I think I can arrange with me and you can be roommates. But
that would be interesting.
Yeah, I can show him around Egypt.
That'd be interesting. Yes, indeed. Well, you know, I learned a couple of years ago, y'all know each other from other shows or another show. So maybe y'all have more in common than comes on this show.
Well, yeah, well, you know, that's human beings. So, but yeah, I could show them around. Make sure
right.
You go, you take notebook, pencil, and go to the suit, which is, they call the market. And also you want to get you some sugar cane juice. That there give you enough. That there give you enough energy to jump across a car. So let the next person have it, Mr. Washington.
Okay, I'm going to bring on the next person. Of course, as we used to go around the table, this say John Kenneth, baby, before I bring him on, I do want to say something. And this is actually a quote from my book, and it applies to the Jewish people, which I have not in any way criticized them in terms of their systematic victimization and pathos. But this is something I wrote about the black people. And I'll just say it can apply to other people as well. And I read in my book, the original publication was titled Booker T. Washington and the Black Revolution. I changed the title several years ago to something I thought might be a little more palatable. And I changed it to Booker T. Washington for a New America. Are we there yet? But the content is the same. But it says in my book, coupled with the Negroes' militant fear tactics to bring the maximum concessions from white people, especially the liberals, there's another card in their deck. It is the tactic of victimization. Expressed in the extreme, it goes like this, quote, every shortcoming that I have as a human being, including my inability to get and hold a job and provide for my family as a result of American white people putting my people in slavery for 250 years. Now they owe us. And as a result, they should give us a free ride for the rest of our lives and require absolutely nothing of us, including having respect for the law and law enforcement officers, unquote. Now that doesn't apply to everybody that's African American. It may not even apply to a great percentage. But that is a explanation or definition of this extreme victimization pathos that some African Americans feel. And the only reason I mention that is because there's also some people of the Jewish community that feel like that. And these may be the people that are brandishing swords right now and banging on the bass drum and calling for a whoop his head, so to speak, because just because she made that inaccurate statement, their sense of victimization has been exacerbated to the extent where they would like to see her off the show, probably. I don't know if that's come out, but they're probably satisfied with her being suspended for 2 weeks.
You know how else she was inaccurate, Mr. Washington?
How's that?
There was also what we would call today black in the Nazi party, Nazi fighting. And I think that I was told, but I haven't been able to do research on, that you had black palace in the Wolf Waffles. But they haven't been completely told out. Well, you know, you had the Rhineland Bastards, a guy by the name of Huck, and I can't think of his entire name. He wrote a book on it. The Rhineland Bastards came about when France was given access to the Rhineland during World War One, and you had France and Senegalese troops that fought with France. And France had access to the Rhineland, the coal deposits there, as sort of a reparation for what they expended in military goods, equipment, and also lives in helping to defeat them during that period of time, defeat Germany. And those Senegalese troops would mate with the German women. But even before that, I think it was some, what you would call today, as people like to describe, blacks that was part of that organization. Thank you, sir.
Okay, well, thank you. Well, we're going to move around the table, the virtual family room table. And so our next panelist we want to hear from is St. John Cannonbay. St. John Cannonbay, welcome again to the program tonight. And again, you don't have to respond to that topic, even though I put it out there on the marquee. If you want to talk about something else, that's quite fine. But whatever you have to say, we're all open ears listening for your comments. So please go right ahead.
First of all, I would like to say good evening. The issue that we are dealing today historically has been distorted. What I mean by that is that the present-day Jew we're talking about is not the ancient Jew. So his claims that he's claiming, it is not based on truths that will stand up the test of time. The is highlighted in the Palestinian and Israeli conflict. The best I can understand is that the present-day Jews' origin came out of the fall of the Moors of Spain in 1492. So the Europeans rid Spain of the presence of the Moors, or the descendants of the Moabites and Canaanites. They went through something that would be called later on, similar to ethnic cleansing. So in the process of that, they murdered a lot of people, they amalgamated with the women, and they pulled some of them into Christianity. So this is a result of that campaign, which is a divisive campaign, which would continue for some time to come. So it's not based on true historical facts. It's muddled with a lot of confusion, and it kind of messes to get bogged down into it. That is my opinion of what is taking place now. So Ruth Goldberg is a victim of misinformation, and her gut feeling may tell her about historical issues to an extent. So I think that it's an opportunity of suppressing the truth about our journey down through the ages. So that's a general opinion that I have of that whole situation. Peace.
Okay, well, thank you. Before we go around the table to our next panelist, which is Brother Warren, who is Brother Warren, I want to welcome Dr. Calvin Nobles to the program tonight. So glad to see him in our virtual family room, and I'm sure I feel safe saying he probably knows what the topic is, as he probably is familiar. We have been for the last 3 months or so, just having caller's choice. I didn't pick a topic, even though I would begin with something that I saw in the news that was on my mind. But I did pick a topic this week, but we don't have to stick on this topic for the whole show. But the topic is, should Whoopi Goldberg have been punished, and I put punished in quotation marks, namely suspended for 2 weeks from being on The View. She's a co-host of The View. Should she have been suspended for 2 weeks for making a historically inaccurate statement during a discussion on The View talk show last week? And, of course, inaccurate statement, and she said that the Holocaust was not about race, but it was about man's inhumanity to man, and I won't elaborate on that. But that's where we are right now, Dr. Noble. So, again, welcome, and we're going to go now to Brother Warren. Brother Warren, what are your thoughts on this topic, or anything else you'd like to talk about?
I'd like to say good evening to everyone, distinguished panelists. You know, they say Whoopi Goldberg is a comedian, but when I heard Pianki offer his invitation, I definitely had to laugh. I'll be leaving out on February 19th to New York, leave out with the group to Egypt. This will be my fourth trip, and, of course, some of the best have shown me around before. And I don't think that environment would be an environment that a self-professed black conservative Trump supporter would want to be hanging around in. So he might want to reconsider their plans.
Well,
I'd like to say this. When I learned of the news, first of all, a disclaimer, I've never been a fan of Whoopi Goldberg. And I think this whole story is full of irony that a black woman who carries a European Jewish name, who often participated in derogatory skits of black people, such as a boyfriend putting on blackface at a banquet and defending it, I think this is an excellent case study of someone falling on their own sword. However, the comments she made, which any black person could have made those same comments, does not warrant the type of racist reaction that white Jews have done to her. Because when we talk about race, and generally we're looking at some biologically fixed attribute that distinguish one population from another. And, of course, most people, when you talk of race, it is in that those terms. For example, you have Jews from Africa who are black. You have Jews from India called Cochin Jews. You have Chinese Jews. And you know the black Jews in Israel complain about racist mistreatment and abuse because of their color. You and I or anybody on this panel can convert to the Jewish religion. Does that mean we become part of the Jewish race once we convert? So the issue that Whoopi Goldberg was addressing, that's easily not on the ADL website. Now, pay attention to this. On the Anti-Defamation League website, this is how they define racism. They changed it right after that controversy. But this is what they said on their website. Racism, the marginalization and or oppression of people of color based on a socially constructed racial hierarchy that privileges white people. That's what the ADL said. Right after the Whoopi Goldberg situation, they went and changed that definition. So if race is a social construct, why would these white Jews try to scream and claim that they're race? Now, Hitler may have said that they were race as a way to demonize them in the society. And we all know historically anti-Jewishness, referred to as anti-Semitism, has been a European phenomenon. Why? Because Europe is a big Christian place, and those who practice Judaism have been a minority with their own unique traditions, food customs, and everything. So, but they're white like the other white people. Their DNA does not differ a whole lot from any of the other whites in the populations where they live. In fact, you can't tell in Germany or Poland a person if they was Jewish or non-Jewish by looking at them. That's the point Whoopi Goldberg is making. Okay, now, what's behind the reaction? Well, some of us believe that there's some people just wanted Whoopi Goldberg out. So then you just sensationalize your response. You build it up to make it like it was so disgraceful what she said, right, as a way to get her out, because that's how these things work. Okay, so again, the treatment of Jews in Europe let me say this loud and clearly, was a religious prejudice. Was a religious prejudice. It was a religious prejudice, not race, because there were many Jewish people who converted to the Christian religion and no longer were Jewish. They were no longer a part of the Jewish communities that still practiced the religion. Many Jewish people from Eastern Europe came here and changed their names. Did you know Jerry Lewis was Jewish? Well, who can tell he was Jewish with a name like Jerry Lewis? What physical attribute he has distinct from Bull Connor or Strom Thurmond such that you wouldn't think he's white? Now, see, Whoopi Goldberg could have said all of this, but because she has been so, she believed she was in with those people, and she was close with them, and she felt that she can joke with them, she's caught by surprise. Remember the late comedian Paul Mooney? He called that the nigger wake-up call. And they all get that. Now, look at another hypocrisy on the same order with that. When Mitch McConnell, in his reference to African-American voters, when he said that African-American voters vote at the same rate, if I'm quoting correctly, as American voters, people rightfully corrected him and said, well, African-Americans are American or Americans, because what he should have accurately said was African-Americans vote at the same rate as other American voters. But, of course, in these people's minds, black people are not American citizens. But what did the black conservatives do? They didn't jump on Mitch McConnell and say, we're American citizens. We act like they do us. You know, they tell us that these black conservatives try to make us know they're American citizens. They didn't go knock on Mitch McConnell's door and say, what you talking about? We're American citizens. No, what they did was they went and defended him. And then they castigated the other people who pointed out his statement. So you have a lot of hypocrisy in how people, you know, address these issues here. So Whoopi Goldberg, understanding of race is like most people understand the race. She said if the KKK was out to get her and she was with her Jewish friends, she would have to run and then they would be passed by. Why? Because one white man and white woman see another white man and white woman. You see? So let me say this again. The Jewish people that were in Germany were and are white, just like Hitler was white, just like all the other whites who said they were Nazi were white. And remember, there were black people also rounded up in Nazi Germany and killed. Okay? And they were specifically pointed out about their black color. Remember Jesse Owens? When he was in Germany and Hitler walked away? See, this is what Whoopi Goldberg could have made reference to, but she's ignorant and stupid and loves white people, and so she doesn't know how to defend herself, you see, because she's been so dependent on them and hiding behind them and in many respects throwing stones at black folks. So I don't come to aid because what I'm saying is any innocent black could have made those same statements. So it's a bunch of hoopla. It's a racist attack by these white Jews who have nothing but venom for black people anyway, and then they want to use their inhumane treatment by other whites and then try to project that on black people as if black people have been a part of it. Don't play with them. I ain't dealt with rabbis and everything else, but they got us so scared. See, when you have white Jewish sociologists and white Jewish historians knew exactly what Whoopi Goldberg was saying, but they refused to come out and defend her, or they refused to come out and clarify this issue any further. Jewish people are white people. They live in white communities in the United States. They served on boards and commissions, business people, bankers, everything else. And they had a religious difference. It was a religious prejudice. You can discriminate against a group of people, not only on their color, but on their language, on their place of origin, and on their religion. It's like people who are Muslims are discriminated against in many countries, like in France, okay, where the women can't wear the hijab, okay, and how some people are trying to promote anti-Muslim discrimination here in the United States. But Muslims come in all different races. So do Jewish people. The people who set the tone for Jewry, the people who write the rules for Jewry, are the white people. They represent the power base of Jewry. And then they use the black Jews, the Chinese Jews, and the Indian Jews to try to say, oh, we're so diverse. But at the same time in Israel, they discriminate against the black Jews. They won't allow them to donate blood. In fact, they recommended that the women be sterilized. Well, they won't even allow them to practice. The Ethiopian Jews are not even allowed to practice their Jewish Ethiopian rites for marriage in Israel. And then there have been police killings by the Israeli police of Ethiopian Jews. And the Ethiopian Jews have protested, burned up cars, threw rocks, just like in New York, anywhere else in the United States. So these are things that Whoopi Goldberg, had she been knowledgeable and had she loved her black skin and her African heritage, could have defended herself with. But she's gotten burnt by the very type of white people she sought to be in with and pretended like she was one of them. Thank you, Mr. Washington.
Thank you, Brother Warren. We're going to go ahead and announce the number again for those who are listening via the internet, as you can see. And I say as you can hear, really, our conversation is getting really to become very interesting. So we appreciate the panelists that have spoke to others and maybe more that will come on. But we want to invite all of you who are listening via the internet to join us, to come into our virtual family room as active participants in this forum. The number to call is 657-383-0671. 657-383-0671. And our next panelist, as we go around the table, as we say, the virtual family room table, is Minister Jesus Muhammad Ali. And we've talked about this several times during this past week. And I'm familiar with some of his thoughts on it, but I certainly know that you would also like to hear his thoughts. Minister Jesus, welcome to the show. What are your thoughts? Make sure you speak kind of loud so everybody will be able to hear you too.
And the greeting of peace and paradise, assalamu alaikum, to all the in the within the range of my voice. Brother Imam Musa, we have had a long time, quite a bit of discussion about this subject. Yes, I would like to make clear is that this subject about Jewishness, Whoopi Goldberg, you know, she was speaking through a prism, her way of looking at things, okay? And I guess everybody have their own way by which they look at things. The Jewish people are hypersensitive, and this was a reaction. You know, this is a way that they are calling attention to them, to the oppression that they have suffered as a people, okay, and having been identified as a people, and they want to cling to that identity as being a people, and that's basically where they're coming from my understanding of this situation. Now, they have paid a tremendous price under Nazi Germany, you know, as having been identified as a race. But, you know, I know we were discussing this subject last week, and that's and based on a question of one of our panelists, Brother Sheikh John Kenneth Bay, he in so many words, he asked about was Hitler a Catholic, you know, and then this all, you know, came in focus, as says, in terms of the Holocaust, why the Jews, you know, okay, even though 8 million Polish people, many of them were Jewish, they also were killed. 60 million people were killed, you know, stopping Hitler. I mean, 20 million Russians. So, you know, this, but they're staying focused on the Jewish people. The Jewish people, they say they, you know, they believe in the one true and living God. Okay, the Spirit of God moved upon the face of the deep, you know, as in Genesis has said, you know, the Spirit, thought is spirit. Allah, the word Allah, which is a Muslim embrace and referring to God, is identified by 99 attributes, and those attributes can be described as intellectual thought or spirit. A spirit is intellectual thought. You know, we are creatures. No, now my grandfather, the son of Elijah Muhammad, he established Islam, or Islam acquired traction in this country. And as I mentioned, his Elijah, he proclaimed himself the messenger of Allah in the name of Elijah, and he said, "I am Elijah." And Muhammad, see, Muhammad means praise and praiseworthy. So Muhammad is, in some ways, it's a title. Okay, and so because even the prophets, Muhammad saw some, that was not his name originally. That was his name given to him after he received prophecy. So Muhammad is a title, you know, Ahmed, you know, trustworthy. Now, just like the name Elijah, which, you know, my grandfather managed to allow Islam to gain traction in the name of Elijah. The name Jesus is a Greek name in the first place, but in Hebrew it means helper of Jehovah. That's, you know, he was accused of heresy, but, you know, why did Pontius Pilate have such a difficulty, passing judgment on the man, you know, when his name means helper of Jehovah? And that's, you know, so helper of Jehovah, you know, and Elijah, it means Jehovah's God. Okay, so all of putting these things in context, you know, the Jewish people will tell you openly that they believe in the one true and living God. They believe in the God of life. They'll tell you they do not fear death. They don't sell me a religion that based on what happens to me after the grave. Okay, so Christ said, you know, I sum up the Ten Commandments in two: love God with all your heart, and treat others as you want to be treated. Treat your brother as you want to be treated. So my grandfather, he would say, always open the door, he'd say, treat those like you want to be treated. Okay, so, you know, and my grandfather's focus was on, you know, respect for one another. Okay, he dealt with the land mines of intellectual thought, when it came to us, you know, 15 generations, after 15 generations of being stripped of our humanity and treated as chattel, you know, he didn't have mosques, he had temples. A temple is where he said a mosque is where you go to pray. A temple is where you teach. We need a special kind of a grooming, you know, as you say, up from slavery. So respect for others, you know, one of the in moral discipline, you know, these are psychological disciplines. The Holy Quran identifies, you know, psychological differences. But the Honorable Elijah Muhammad, he talked about psychological differences in terms of, you know, the vices of drinking, smoking, you know, dope. He could not be a member of the Nation of Islam if you, you know, didn't have moral discipline. You know, and these are the things that we need as a people. So this whole issue of the Jewish people being identified as a race, well, Hitler came up with this final solution. See, the Jewish people, they spent hundreds of billions of dollars in telecommunications in this country, because this country is powerful, you know, one of the most powerful countries in the world, you know, and so they spend hundreds of billions of dollars in telecommunications as a watch guard for the Jewish people. So Whoopi Goldberg on The View, you know what I mean? You know, this is the program, you know, by CBS, and it's, you know, it explained about what this program is about. But this is just a typical of the fact that Jewish people, you know, they set themselves out as a mind trust. You know, they are, you know, they are, you know, if you look at anything relative to the stock market or Federal Reserve, you hear all of these Jewish names. That's how they set themselves. See, they say they believe in Allah. I mean, they believe in Jehovah. Jehovah refers to God's universal power and dominion. They, you know, say it's not just the fact that you believe in God. It's why do you believe in God? They believe in God because they seek power. They are power brokers. That's what they do. That's what they are about. And okay, and that's why Whoopi Goldberg. But she may have been blindsided. Maybe she has a what we call myopathy. Okay, and she doesn't see the big picture, but they are constantly focused on the big picture. Okay, so I don't want to consume all of the air time. Like I say, psychological minefields when it comes to how we live our life. I mean, just like these rappers, you know, they idolize, you know, a gangster drug mentality. Now America supports this, but they also turn around and say we are lost generation, and some men all refer to us and say we are organ donors. I mean, so somebody's capitalizing off all of this. So they promote what is going. I mean, you know, interracial marriage to them is a biological warfare, because the babies are not going to be white. So it's a biological warfare. So we, you know, my grandfather, you know, he taught segregation. He said that's the only way it's going to be.
Yes, we got five minutes. Okay, I'm going to give
someone else the opportunity to weigh in on this. Thank you very much, and assalamu alaikum.
Wa alaikum salam. Thank you so much for those comments. So, like, our esteemed Dr. Calvin Novus, my dear friend and fraternity brother, Dr. Novus, welcome to the program this evening. You heard a lot of discussion. You've been very patient as you waited for your turn, and we're certainly looking forward to hearing any comments that you would like to make. So take your time, and let's hear your thoughts, please.
Thank you, Brother Cabins, and good evening to everybody on the show. I'll keep this real brief. I saw the comments. I saw it on several different venues, and this is one of those arguments or conversations that I add to the list don't have in public because it's sensitive, and other people don't like to hear other people's views on it. And if you happen to be somebody that look like us, and we have an opposing view, it could go south like it did for Ms. Goldberg here. I also believe that it's sensitive because for Afro-American people, for us, we think about our own situation in this country, and the two conversations are very sensitive. For whatever reason you want them to be, I'll let you all know what I'm talking about. It's a very sensitive conversation. This is a conversation that I would tell people, do not have this conversation in public unless you absolutely know the ins and outs of it. Because people will find a way to put you on an opposing side and to demoralize you about it. Just like when people start to talk about the Holocaust, you know, it gets us a little upset because we see people sympathize with it so easily. But we have to have a stern argument to get the same response about slavery. And so this is a conversation that if you somebody like Ms. Goldberg or somebody who has on a show, they got a huge viewing, I encourage you, don't have that. That's a conversation that you might not want to have in public. There's some conversations you have to move to a private conversation only. Because you could easily offend people today about that conversation. Unfortunately, people say what they want to say about slavery, and we don't get the same response. That's concerning for me because I've had friends that come at me and say, well, we're not in slavery now. But to me, when I say comments like that, it indicates to me, but you don't see the cascading effects of slavery. Because you don't want to see them. And so I just leave that as that. That's, again, bottom line, that conversation is not a conversation that, you know, you should be having on a mainstream media platform unless you are absolutely immersed in that topic.
Okay, well, thank you. Thank you very much, Dr. Noble. We certainly learned a lot just from the short period of time you spoke, as we learned from all of our panelists, and we appreciate your contribution, and I'm just so excited every time, and we all are so excited every time that you join us as a panelist on the show. So what we're going to do now, I had intended to close at 9 o'clock, which it is 9 o'clock right now, but we'll do this to give everybody a chance to respond to what others have said. We'll use this this lineup. We'll go with.
I need to leave.
Okay,
here.
Okay.
Let me go first, if you don't mind.
Okay, if you're going to leave, then you go first.
And I'll let Calvin close out.
But go ahead.
Okay,
if you got to go, then you go, because I was going to leave you for last, because you was here last. But go ahead.
Yeah. You know, on this thing with what we call Jews, you know, Castro was a Jew also. He's a Christian by day, Jew by night. He was a Marino. Now, this all began, I ain't going to say it all began, but Yahweh was a local god of no importance by Yahwehs. Yahwehs were breakaway Cushites back in the early 8th century. And this is talked about in 2 Kings 19 and 35. The head of the Jews at that time was Hosea. Hosea asked Shabaka, because the Assyrians was closing down on Jerusalem. And the Syrians, which is present-day Syria, was a warring troop. And Hosea asked of the Cushites for help because the Yahwehans were actually breakaway Cushites. They created Yahweh. Now, Hosea asked that. You had Taharka and you had Shabiku. They came and led 1,200 Cushites from Upper Egypt. Now, should I say that it actually was Upper Cush? And they marched 1,200 miles to take on the Assyrians. The Assyrians were led by Sennacherib, and they defeated the Assyrians. As I said before, 2 Kings 19 and 35 makes mention of that, ironically. Then the Assyrian king Esarhaddon and King Baal of Tyre, he's also listed in 2 Kings, but it's 19 and 9. He is listed for saving his Hebrew brothers from annihilation. Now, during Shavaka's reign, the Assyrians encroached upon the borders of Israel, like I said before, and Hosea, the king of the Israel, asked Shavaka for assistance in battling the Assyrians, which they did. It was Taharka and his little nephew Shabika, which was related to my namesake, Pianchi. They was all of the 25th dynasty. 25th dynasty has been went down as being the last day of Egypt's walk in the sun. Now, why was this battle important? Well, one of the reasons why I come to battle was important, as I said before, the Cushites defeated Sennacherib. Because if Sennacherib had a won, he would have destroyed Yahwehism, which was a precursor to Judaism, spelled with an I, which was a precursor to Christianity, which was a precursor to Islam. Those three probably would not have existed. But that's history. The battle was around 701 B.C., and as I said before, it's talked about, but it's been plagiarized in what we call now the Bible, 2 Kings 19 and 13 and 2 Kings 19 and 9. And I could talk about it a little bit more, but my memory just kind of precludes me. So I'm going to get out of here. And Warren, I'm going in July, so if you go February. But I might change my mind and go in February so we can be roommates. Mr. Washington, thank you.
Okay,
really appreciate y'all.
You.
Please be careful.
Okay. All right. Thank you. Have a good evening and the rest of the weekend, and we hopefully will be together again here next week. Okay. So what we're going to do as we wrap up, we're going to go to Sheikh John Kenan Bey, and then Mr. Jesus Muhammad Ali, and then ask Dr. Novus if you can stay with us. If you do any closing comments as we close out the show. So, Sheikh John Kenan Bey, would you like to comment on anything you've heard tonight or add any new information or even talk about something else that's on your mind before we close?
Yeah, I'd like to talk about two words come to mind, assimilation and amalgamation. So what one Jewish follower explained to me, who they said they are connected with the original Jews in Ethiopia. So they'll be the one who helps darker skin. She explained to me that where you identify, she didn't use the word European Jews, but you identify them by their shade of their skin being pale. Where you identify them is by their body types. So the body types of us, descendants of Africa, the brothers of men are broad shoulders, narrow waist, and protruding. The women are big butt, little legs. So that being said, that's why the European can, among them, distinguish those who have Jewish blood or been amalgamated and they're trying to assimilate it. So there have been times that they'll try to rid that group of that by going through what they call ethnic cleansing. So this whole issue, it boils down to the interaction, integration, intermingling of the original people who we say are what's called today Negro, Black, Colored, so forth and so on, and the people that came later who are called the Europeans. European heritage sometimes is chronicled in a art form called the Wolverine. And the Wolverine shows a she-wolf being suckled by two Europeans and little babies. And those babies have a name. It's Romulus and Remulus, and they will say that in the history book that they are the founder of the eternal city of Rome. So that's they are the beginning of the European nation. So the rest of the history is telling the story in the favor of the ones who are telling the story. And we have not been in a position to tell our own story for years. So this is some of what is going on with the cover-up, with what they call the critical race theory and all that, suppression of the truth, trying to prevent the truth in reference to our people coming in service to show that we are the contributor to the great society to be what it is today. And we have been robbed of those contributions by the historians that tell the story now. They tell the story that we came out of Africa after, or they brought us out of Africa, we were swinging in trees like monkeys, but they don't talk about our contribution of developing, particularly Spain, when the Moors, our forefathers, went to Spain. Year 1711, they were there for 899 years when they were defeated in 1492, eventually spelled in 1610. So that's just briefly a capture of my understanding of our journey and relationship with other nations, other groups of people. Peace.
Thank you, Sheikh Dan Kenan Bey. Thank you so much. And Mr. Jesus Muhammad Ali, do you have any final comments that you would like to make? And as I said, we're asking Dr. Calvin Novus to actually close out the show with any final comments. But would you like to make any expanded comments on what you were discussing before, or anything else before we get ready to wrap up?
Yes, sir. Thank you, Ken. I just like to say that When it comes to the Jewish people, you know, as I mentioned, they go out of their way to let you know that you can't sell them any fear of what happens after the grave, and certainly that segregates them from Muslims, and it segregates them from Christians. Okay, and so, but. They spend hundreds of billions of dollars, you know, in telecommunication in this country, because this is a country, one of the most powerful in the world, as you mentioned earlier. But, you know, freedom of speech, when it comes to telecommunication, you know, and subliminal influences, you know, freedom of speech is the fourth branch of the government. If this is a democracy, you know, and you have freedom of speech, so that's why they invest so much money, and they set themselves out as a mind trust. And even the Arab people say that they are America's mind trust. Okay, so you know, and it, just another you know slight reference to something mentioned to Brother Sheikh John Kenneth Bay. Is that concerning the 800 years of the Moorish influence that brought the Europeans out of the dark ages, you know, that 810 years when the Moors set up, opened up 17 different universities, you know, and there was a city called Kota. They established a city called Kota. Cotovar out in Spain, where they had underground water ways, and they had like street lights. When London was much more of a village, so to speak, So what I'm saying is, you know, as far as bringing the European out of the dark ages. You know, it was the influence of the Moors, just like, you know, so, I mean, just like when, the Saudis turned the ocean of oil over to America, you know, and Eisenhower built all these expressways in the 6th and the 7th Fleet modeled after Europe's, you know, Great Britain's, you know, fleets. So, and police in the world. So the influence of the Muslim world, you know, even in terms of the contribution of the Saudis, you know, and, you know. So anyway, I'm gonna leave it on that note, you know, to tell let people know to take a second look at things, and don't just allow people just to sell you something without, you know, like Brother Imam Musa, Brother. Professor Marshall Kevin, you are a historian, and you know that tells you how we got to where we are today. We have to be focused on that, and that should, you know, looking in the rearview mirror oftentimes can give you vision as to how we're going to go forward. So we should, you know, my grandfather say, you know, history rewards research. With that, I'm going to say assalamu alaikum to all those within my, peace and greetings of peace and paradise to all those within the reach of my voice.
Okay, well, thank you, Mr. Jesus Muhammad Ali, and for our concluding comments. We bring back, and not necessarily bring back, but for those who just joined us late, we reintroduce Dr. Calvin Novus. And Dr. Novus, I'm going to give you
Can I say something, Mr. Washington? Can I say something?
Yeah. Okay, yes, go ahead.
Yeah. For the record, everyone should order a book written by an Israeli professor. The book is entitled The Invention of the Jewish People. The author is Shlomo Fan. His first name is spelled S-H-L-O-M-O. And his last name is Sand, S-A-N-D, The Invention of the Jewish People. Now, on the sleeve of the book, it says this. Shlomo Sand argues that most Jews actually descend from converts whose native lands were scattered far across the Middle East and Eastern Europe. The formation of a Jewish people and then a Jewish nation out of these disparate groups could only take place under the sway of a new historiography, developing in response to the rise of nationalism throughout Europe. Beneath the biblical backfill of the 19th century historians and the 20th century intellectuals who replaced rabbis as the architects of Jewish identity, the invention of the Jewish people uncovers a new narrative of Israel's formation and proposes a bold analysis of nationalism that accounts for the old myth. So my point here, you have Jewish scholars who know better, who know what Whoopi Goldberg was saying, who are even in Israel, because that book was first written in Hebrew and translated into English a few years ago, because I purchased it a few years ago. And the people who present themselves as the vanguard of Jewry are white people whose ancestors converted to the religion at some point in Europe. There was an empire in Russia called Khazar, and the people in Khazar wanted to avoid the conflict between Christians and Muslims. So as a result, approximately in the 8th century, the 7th century, they converted to Judaism. That's why you got all those Jews in Russia today. And so you have two domains of Jewry. You have the Ashkenazi Jews. That's pretty much the white Jews. You see in Russia, Poland, Hungary, Germany, and so on and so forth. And then you have the Sephardic Jews. These were North African Jews, Jews in Spain and Portugal. When the nation of Israel was formed, to this day, there is a dispute between the Ashkenazi Jews, the typical white people who think they're superior, and then the Sephardic Jews have been complaining. The Sephardic Jews look like many Mediterranean people, the North Africans and the Spanish and Portuguese people. So my point is, we have to be very informed and well-read on the fine distinction in these arguments so that people can't trip us up like they did Whoopi Goldberg. So they wouldn't let me on TV to talk. See, because the Jewish rabbis and scholars would know exactly what I'm talking about. And so what they do is keep people in confusion. So now they got all of these black people scared and afraid to challenge that notion that what happened to the Jews was because of their physical attribute like African Americans. In fact, it needs to be said that those Jewish people who are expressing anger for Whoopi Goldberg's analysis, we suspect are anti-black Jews. So you got to come hard on these people, because what they're doing, we become so cowardly. We want to be accepted. And so we have sacrificed our integrity. We don't even want to see what our really, we want to shape our experience to approval for other kind of whites. So this is basically what I do, ladies and gentlemen. I don't harp on Jewishness. I harp on white racism. And a white racist could be a Jew, a Christian, a Hindu, and even a Muslim. That's how I deal with that. That's the domain I push that back in. So I don't even harp on Jewishness because to avoid that trap of them trying to call you an anti-Semitic. And let me say one last thing about that term anti-Semitic. That's an inaccurate term. The term Semitic is a linguistic term. The Semitic languages is a sub-branch of the African language family called Afro-Asiatic. And under Afro-Asiatic, they put ancient Egyptian, Berber, they put a family language called Chadic, Semitic, Cushitic. Now, check this out. Part of my ancestors here in Louisiana come from the Hausa people. Hausa people were brought to Louisiana during French colonial times. And I know this because of the very well documentation we have in Louisiana. I've identified my ancestor being classified as a Hausa in the documents. The Hausa language is a Chadic language. Chadic is a sub-branch of the Afro-Asiatic family of languages. In other words, it's akin to the Semitic languages. So no Jew can call me anti-Semitic because from a linguistic standpoint, my ancestors spoke Semitic languages. Most of these white Jews' ancestors spoke Germanic or Russian languages. They're nowhere close to being Semitic. Knowledge is power, and with the proper use and application of this knowledge, as is said in the hadith that Prophet Muhammad said, one learned man is harder on the devil than 1,000 ignorant worshipers. Thank you, Mr. Washington.
Yes, sir. Thank you, Brother Warren. And I do have to apologize to you because when I did the wrap-up lineup, I inadvertently did not call your name, and I certainly wanted to hear your concluding comments. So I'm glad that you stepped in and stepped up so we could benefit from that great knowledge. And while we're talking about it, before I bring Dr. Novus on, I want to say this. I happened to see yesterday evening the author of the book, Mouse, which was the topic of discussion on the review when this whole issue erupted, the Spiegelman. He won a Pulitzer Prize for that book. And in this advertisement on Amazon.com website, this is how it describes the book. The definitive edition of the graphic novel acclaimed as, listen here, quote, the most affecting and successful narrative ever done about the Holocaust. And this is from the Wall Street Journal. This is how they promoted the book. And so I'm just saying that I saw Spiegelman, the author of this book, and here's what he said about it, because he was asked about his reaction to it. And he basically said that, and I'm paraphrasing, that Whoopi Goldberg should get a pass for ignorance, not punished, but that it should have been a learning experience for her, something that she can take away some new understanding of the fact that the Jewish people, Spiegelman talking, do consider themselves as a race, you know, an oppressed race, actually, and that she shouldn't have been punished, but it should have been a learning event, as we say in education, a learning opportunity, but not something that she should have been punished for. So I just want to mention that I did see him last night on a talk show responding to this issue about Whoopi. So having said that, now we're going to wrap up, and we're certainly looking forward to hearing any closing comments from you, Dr. Noble. So please bring it on. Let us hear whatever's on your mind as we close.
Thank you, Brother Cabinus, and I keep this brief. Regarding Ms. Goldberg, there's so many ways we can take this and so many ways we can look at it. And as an educator, I will always tell us, continue to educate yourself on these topics, because as the world continues to evolve, things like the Holocaust, things like the slavery, and things like slavery will get pushed further and further back unless we continue to have these discussions. But we need to be able to have discussion on an intellectual base. Now, I say that, I said earlier, if you don't really understand these discussions, don't engage in these discussions on a public forum. And the reason I say that is because you'll be looking like a scapegoat right now, like Ms. Goldberg. There are many people that have misspoke, that have said things that were ignorant, that have said way worse, and they got not even an ounce of the punishment that she's receiving. And it just paints the case, you know, when it comes to being engaged in these sensitive conversations, you have to understand their consequences if they go sideways. And that's why there's conversations I tell people that I was very comfortable having some of these conversations in public in the past. But today, there's conversations that I don't contribute to publicly because of the sensitivity and because people are looking for you to have these slip-ups so they can have a point themselves to show how you are insensitive to the situation. And I do believe that the case for her could have been different. The network wanted to cover his backside. Like always, they wanted to cover their butts. And so they took, you know, some very stringent actions against her. She came out with a public apology. I thought that should have been enough. But not in today's environment. It's not enough. And so I just tell people, again, if you're not really knowledgeable on something, don't speak publicly about it. Go learn about it. Become knowledgeable on it. There are ways you can have these conversations with people on both sides and have them very intelligently without it being out in public. But who Ms. Goldberg is, she's never going to be able to have that conversation the way we can have that conversation privately, because as soon as she pop in there and have that conversation, now they're gonna point back to the comments that was made earlier. So again, is it really worth it? Is it really worth it? That's why when somebody asked me a question, I was on a podcast show a couple weeks ago, and somebody asked me something sensitive, and I just ignored the question. And the reason I ignored the question because, one, I didn't want to go on record of answering that question, and two, I didn't want to deal with the fallout of it. So you have to have ways to deflect these things, and I'm sure she's been trained how to do that. And so just don't put yourself in that predicament when you have a job as public as hers. But I do believe that there's some learning opportunity on her behalf, on my behalf, and all of our behalf to learn more about this so we can speak more intelligently about it, as well as I encourage others to learn about slavery and other periods, all the events that happened in our history where, you know, there was some inequality or some racism or some discrimination or whatever it may be. And so that's why, you know, when I heard she had got, you know, reprimanded, I said I knew that was coming. But anyway, in closing, let's close on a high note. As we continue to make progress through the pandemic, as we beginning to see some light at the end of the tunnel. I encourage all of you to be safe, stay safe, continue to talk to people who have not had the vaccine, because even though we're beginning to see light, you know, just being able to give yourself a starting chance against this thing is better than having no chance at all. And with that, I'd like to go ahead and close and thank you all for joining us tonight, and I look forward to joining you all in the future.
Thank you, Dr. Nobles, and I just want to put in a plug for those who are listening via the Internet for our show. Many of you may not know it, but we've been broadcasting going now into our fifth year, and all of the shows we have done over the past 4 years are archived. And if you go up on the web, since you've joined us via the Internet, if you go up on the web to www.blogtalkradio.com, it's all together, /Booger T. Washington Speaks, you'll be able to access all of the programs that we've done since the beginning. They're all archived, and you will be able to hear conversations like this, because each week, I think we missed in 4 years, we missed maybe two because I was traveling, but you'll be able to hear conversations every day, well-informed, very energetic conversations like this. And so I want to welcome you to join us again on next Saturday. And please come on board with the number that I gave you, if you wrote it down, so we can hear your thoughts. So we thank all of the panelists tonight. Dr. Nose, we thank you for closing us out. We also thank Mr. Jesus Muhammad Ali and Brother Warren and Sheikh John Kenan Bey. And even though he's left, you know, he had to leave early. But our normal co-host for the last almost 4 years, actually 3 years at least, Mr. Piaki. So God bless you all, and have a safe weekend. And we hope that you will be joining us again when we come back together in this virtual family room on next Saturday. And we are going to close, as we usually do, with our closing theme song, Lift Every Voice and Sing.